This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 7th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. When government agencies propose new rules or regulations, there's often a period of public comment where people can give their two cents. It gives the federal government some insight into public opinion. But what happens when the vast majority of those comments turn out to be fake? A new investigation found millions of fraudulent comments on a 2017 FCC proposal. And the problem goes far beyond just that one case. Our senior writer James Grimaldi will join us to explain after these headlines. We've been talking this week about former President Donald Trump's future on social media. With Facebook's oversight board handing down its decision earlier this week, all eyes now turn to YouTube. Like the other platforms, the video sharing service suspended Trump after the Capitol riot in January. But unlike the others, YouTube's leaders have stayed relatively quiet on what comes next. Here's our Google reporter, Trip Mickle.
We don't know a lot. You know, YouTube does not provide a lot of insight into who will make the decision about Donald Trump's channel's return to being active and updated on a regular basis. And we don't know when that decision will come. We know collectively that it will be made by a trust and safety team that is evaluating the risk of real world violence by, you know, being in touch with and monitoring, you know, the police presence and capitals around the country and rhetoric and commentary on social media sites other than YouTube's own site.
The Chinese fintech giant Ant Group is exploring ways to revamp a hugely popular and controversial mutual aid service. It's called Shanghubao, and it's a type of crowdfunded medical coverage. People familiar with the matter say Ant is in talks with government officials to turn Shanghubao into a regulated product, overseen by the country's banking and insurance regulator. The people said discussions are continuing and that no decision has yet been made. The news comes amid a regulatory crackdown on Ant and other Chinese tech companies, as authorities there work to rein in the fintech industry's influence. And cryptocurrencies from Bitcoin to Ether to Dogecoin have been on a blistering rally this year. Dogecoin, for instance, is up 12,000%. Our reporter Caitlin Ostroff says their rise is leading some investors to turn their attentions to newer crypto assets, with names like Digibyte, VeChain, and SafeMoon, in the hopes that they'll be the next to take off. Here's Caitlin talking on our sister podcast, What's News?
What's happened is because people have looked at Dogecoin's rise, Dogecoin, which was created as a meme joke cryptocurrency, never designed to have any real value, the fact that it is up so much, people are seeing it and saying, you know, why not something else as well? Like, we have seen what the force of people on social media all piling into one thing can do to, you know, really raise these assets. And it could be anything else that comes next.
Be sure to check out What's News for more on the crypto rally and the potential risks to investors. All right, coming up next, who's behind millions of fake online comments on an FCC proposal? We'll find out after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
A few years back, the Federal Communications Commission proposed a rollback of internet regulations. As part of that process, there was a public comment period, basically where anyone with an opinion could weigh in. But a new report from the New York Attorney General's office found that 18 million of the comments submitted on that proposal, nearly 80% of them, were fake. For more on this, I'm joined by our senior writer, James Grimaldi. Hey, James, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
So first, can you just talk a little bit about the regulation that the FCC was considering and about the role that public comments played in that process?
It really goes back to the Obama administration, in which they had put in place a rule called net neutrality, which is essentially equal treatment of internet traffic by the broadband or internet service providers in the United States. And in early 2017, the Trump administration set to roll that back and basically repeal it. At the time, the chairman of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, was proposing repealing it. And like any rulemaking or regulations that they put out, even a repeal, they open it up for public comment. And they have systems, a couple of different ways in which you can send your comment to the FCC. And this being the internet age, it's mostly done over the internet. They do still take snail mail, but most of the comments they received came either through their own website or through a website called regulations.gov.
But as this investigation found, a vast majority of the comments submitted on that proposal were fake. What does the report say about what happened?
Well, that's right. There were 22 million comments submitted. The New York Attorney General's office launched an investigation into the comments and found that 18 million of them were fabricated in some form or fashion. The Attorney General's office found by following the trail of these comments, they led back to a number of vendors who were hired by a lobbying firm who was hired by this nonprofit group called Broadband for America. And this daisy chain of vendors led them to three companies in New York City who were, through various ways, concocting and making up these comments to be submitted to the FCC in order to give Chairman Pai cover to repeal it. And they also uncovered documents and emails showing the overall plan was that they needed these comments to make it look like the majority of the public, or at least the people commenting, were in favor of dumping this rule. But there was also a ton of comments that came in fact, nearly 8 million comments that were in favor of net neutrality that came from one California college student majoring in computer science.
That is quite a feat for a college student. Okay, so what do we know about how these fake comments were generated?
Some were generated through these solicitation programs. They call them co-registration programs, where people sign up for sweepstakes or free male enhancement pills or what have you in exchange for their names that were then submitted. In other cases, they took a data breach and got information off of the dark web and then attached names. And in other matters, they simply just made names up. A final way was they recycled names that they had collected from earlier comment campaigns.
Got it. So you mentioned some of the companies in the Attorney General's report. What have they said about all this?
Three companies have settled with the Attorney General's office and agreed to pay fines upwards of $4 million. Each of those companies has essentially declined to comment, with one of the three companies, the largest of the three, Fluent Inc., saying that they had rectified their practices to bring them more in line with what the Attorney General's office wanted them to do. And they've entered into an agreement promising not to engage in these activities in the future.
So this case with the FCC actually points to a much broader issue, right? This is part of a known phenomenon online called astroturfing. The Wall Street Journal actually uncovered in an investigation back in 2017 that this affected several government agencies.
That's correct. We found a variety of different campaigns had actually been providing essentially made-up comments to the federal government in an attempt to influence the regulation making, the rulemaking, they call it. But the Attorney General's office also found that each of these companies had engaged in some form of this practice in the past. Fluent, for example, had run 82 political advocacy campaigns that had generated generated hundreds of thousands of fabricated comments on a whole variety of issues ranging from criminal justice reform, data privacy, energy and drilling, gambling, healthcare, taxes, and tobacco. So this is something that has been kind of a secret, a hidden, you could call it, industry, multi-million dollar industry that for years has been trying to influence the government, both on the federal level and also has sort of seeped down into state houses and even local campaigns.
And I think that leads me to my next question, which is, what is the impact of campaigns like this? Why are they such an important problem?
Well, as the Attorney General said, it damages democracy. It corrupts democracy. Because the purpose of public comments, as allowed under the First Amendment, is for you to redress your grievances before the government. If the government's proposing a rule, you have a right to say, I oppose that rule, or I support that rule. And when you have people who are being paid to make up fake comments to try to influence that decision making, then that really corrupts the overall process. And, you know, it's not a plebiscite when people are writing comments. So it's not whoever submits the most comments who wins. Yet, many of these comments actually will have an impact on the final regulation, because these policymakers will sometimes take the comments and say, you know, that's a good point. We should tweak the rule or policy in this direction in order to correct it. Or sometimes they'll even drop the policy because of all the comments they get. So if we're not able to clean up this comment system, then these decision makers may not have a real grasp on what people really think.
Is there a solution? How are regulators and lawmakers working to address this issue?
Well, there's still continuing investigations ongoing. There are reports of a federal investigation, possibly even criminal. Congress's Government Accountability Office has a report that's due probably later this year that may propose some solutions. There have been a number of proposals out there that would find ways to either put a CAPTCHA or some kind of limit on the way comments are uploaded. The government has really sided on the idea of openness. Let's leave the platforms as open as possible for people to submit as many comments as they can without having to overcome some hurdles. But I think there's a lot of rethinking of that. And then on the policy side and the influence industry side, the lobbying side, the Attorney General believes that any company that engages in collecting these kinds of comments for submission must disclose that when they present it to these agencies. And they've made a number of proposals that would add some transparency and disclosure about what exactly is happening in these mass marketing, grassroots, fake grassroots campaigns.
All right. We'll be keeping tabs on those. Our senior writer, James Grimaldi. Thank you, James.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at C3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.